You'll take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're just going to read the first two verses. It's just the introduction of the letter as Paul writes to Timothy, but it's so precious. Many times when we write letters, we just write dear so-and-so, and then we just get right into the content of the letter. But here, as you read Paul's letters that he writes, the introductions have so much depth to them in relation to all the circumstances and everything else. But 1 Timothy chapter 1 this evening, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word, and Lord, may our hearts be just encouraged and strengthened and edified by your word this evening. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. As Paul is writing here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's been over 30 years since the day that he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's been over 30 years. The first, approximately, and these dates are just what people have put together and come to the conclusion in regard to, but the first 27 years, much had happened in Paul's life. As he went on in those 27 years, God would use him greatly, and he would go on three missionary journeys, as we're all familiar with, journeys that took him all over the place, and souls would be saved like Timothy. Churches would be started, and letters, epistles would be written, such as 1 Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians and others. And he writes to the Thessalonians in the first chapter, and his greeting is simply this, as he writes to the church, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he writes these letters to the churches, his greeting is very concise and brief and very much a general greeting, which he writes to all the churches. And but after that 27 years, Paul finds himself in Rome under house arrest. And he's there in house arrest for 2 years. And while the Bible says in Acts chapter 28, as he's in this house arrest in Rome, that no man forbid him from preaching the gospel, people could come to hear him preach, and he would teach people and preach and disciple people. Still, he was not free to travel about as he would. And yet, while he was under that house arrest, he would write four epistles or four letters, which are called the prison epistles. And he would write, and he wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to Colossians, and he wrote to Philemon and the church that Philemon was a part of. And in those, you go back to the book of Colossians chapter 1, and you can see the greeting there that he had to these churches like Ephesus and Philippi and the one at Colossae. And he would say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he wrote to these churches, he would edify them, he would teach them, he would encourage them. You know, it's interesting when you read Philippians chapter 4 and you think about where Paul was at under house arrest. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, I've learned to be content. He says, God is supplying all my needs. He says, I am full and abound in verse number 18 of chapter 4. And so he encourages these folks as he writes from prison. But now he's been released. And now he is set at liberty once again. Or he's set at liberty. And he's able to resume with a a physical, personal liberty, his ministry as an apostle. He's able to go back to what he had been doing before, just traveling around and telling people about the Lord and encouraging believers and edifying the churches. And it is this time, it's at this point in his life, at this point in his ministry, where he's been set free from this house arrest, that from, scholars say, from Laodicea, he would write this personal letter to Timothy. And Timothy was special to Paul. Timothy was a young man. Well, he was actually, I think, about 13 or 15 years younger than Paul. So Paul is getting older now, but it was about a 15-year difference there. But Timothy had gotten saved under Paul's ministry back in Lystra. And he writes, and in verse number 1, it says, Paul. And then it says in verse number 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. But now he's writing a personal letter to Timothy. And as you read through this letter, just stop and think. Just think of the joy that must have just been filling Paul's heart as he is once again just free from this house arrest to be able to go and spread the gospel again. Just think of the love that he's writing to Timothy, who he cared for deeply. He says, my own son. Just think of the care that he had, because as he writes to Timothy, he's left Timothy Ephesus, and Timothy is ministering and pastoring and shepherding this flock at Ephesus, and the care that Paul has for these people that Timothy is ministering to. But what caught my attention was that in verse number 1 and verse number 2, Paul writes, and he states in verse 1 and 4, 2, four truths. But he doesn't state these truths as just truths that were just for him. He doesn't state these truths as truths that he is just putting forth there to others, to Timothy others. But he says these are four truths, Paul says, that were precious to him, precious to Timothy, and precious to every one of us as a child of God. Notice in verse number 1 and verse number 2, something unique there in those two verses. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment, and then notice this, of God, and what's the next word? Our Savior. Check it out. And Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, Paul doesn't just say, he could have easily said, Paul, because he does this in another place. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, but he doesn't say that. He goes further, he says, by the command of God, our Savior. And Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father. And Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know, as he has been released from this house arrest, as he's back just traveling and doing what God has called him to do, he's Timothy, these four truths, he says, they're not just mine, Timothy. In fact, I was thinking these truths, they're powerful truths. But they're more powerful when they become personal. You see, doctrine can be doctrine, but when doctrine becomes personal, boy, that's when it really makes a difference. And he says, Timothy, these are precious to me. He says, they're precious to you. They're what we have, a bond within. And he speaks, and tonight, we're not going to go through all four of these. We're going to actually look at them just one by one, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy, because 2 Timothy is greeting to 2 Timothy in weeks ahead. We'll look at that as well, because that's precious too. But I just want to focus this evening on the first one, because really interesting, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. You know, usually when we speak of our salvation, we speak of our Savior, rightly so, as the Scripture tells us. We speak of Jesus Christ our Savior, right? I mean, the majority of the time we speak of Jesus Christ our Savior. But Paul's just so overwhelmed by not only the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that died for him, that Jesus Christ is Savior, but it was God that brought that all about. And he could have very easily just said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment, by the authority, by the will of God. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Because he knew his responsibility to preach the gospel. He knew his authority to preach the gospel. But he says, while I preach the gospel, while I go and travel around sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel with the authority of God, he says, more importantly, I go with a heart that is just overwhelmed because God is my Savior. So I want us to look at this tonight, and I trust that these as we look at this just this one truth, God, not my Savior, God, our Savior. God, our Savior. That our hearts would not only be encouraged, but they knit together as we realize that, listen, it doesn't matter whether it's the youngest one or the oldest one. God is our Savior, right? Our Savior. And so look with me. I want you to start and start thinking about it from first of all, from this perspective, the grace of God, our Savior. Turn over to Titus. That's point number one. And this really has to do with Paul's testimony. The grace of God, our Savior. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I think Paul mentions God, our Savior. I think, if I'm correct in remembering, five times. I'm pretty sure it's five times, but in Titus chapter 2, look at Titus chapter 2. Just verse number 10 and verse number 11. Really want to look at the last part of verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And then he says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He says, the grace of God. He says, God our Savior, the grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared to all men. You just go over one chapter to chapter 3 and verse number 3. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 9, to Paul's testimony. Because Paul understood not only the grace of God that saves, for we know the Bible says, for by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Paul said, the grace of God that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. And I want us just in Acts chapter 9, just really stop and think for a moment. Look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So this is Saul in the moment. This is Saul. And it says, I don't think we can really grasp verse number one, where it says, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples' Lord. He goes unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But then verse number three, without even getting to verse number four, without even getting to the Lord speaking, the Lord dealing with him, just verse number three, stop and think about verse number three as Paul would remember back on this day. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Just stop and consider for a moment. You know, the disciples, at another point in time, spoke to Jesus Christ, and they thought of something else, very different than what took place here. And Saul, being a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee, knew full well how easily this could have gone in a totally different direction. Do you remember what the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ when there was someone that was unresponsive to the gospel, that was refused the gospel and refused the Lord Jesus Christ? They referred back to the life and ministry of Elijah. We're not a light. It wasn't a light that shone down from heaven. But God sent fire down from heaven. Do you remember that in 2 Kings chapter 1? Where those soldiers came on the request of Ahab to seek Elijah. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and those 50 and those 50 men and the next 50 men. Fire came down from heaven. You see, when Paul thought of the grace of God that brings salvation, I'm sure he thought back to this moment. And I'm sure he thought there could have been a very different occasion that day on the road to Damascus. I mean, you just stop and think about it. Those soldiers back then, all they were doing were following the orders of a leader. They were just following the orders of their commander to go get Elijah and to bring him back to the king. And yet fire came down and consumed them. And here's Saul, who had stood there consenting at the death of Stephen, who had wreaked havoc on the church and persecuted the church and wasted the church of God, on his way to get permission, on his way to just rip people out of their homes and because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, it was the grace of God that came. It wasn't the fire of God that fell from heaven. But suddenly, there appeared a light from heaven. The grace of God. Ever stop to just wonder and marvel at how that moment when you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior? Aren't you just thankful it was the grace of God that came to you? I mean, just think of how long-suffering and patient God was with us. And the grace of God that day appeared in the person of Jesus Christ to Paul. So number one, when he says, I'm an apostle by the commandment. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. I'm sure his heart was just filled with gratitude for the grace of God our Savior. But second of all, the gospel of God our Savior. Turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because he's writing to Timothy. And Paul knew his testimony. And he's writing to Timothy, his own son in the faith. And as he writes 1 Timothy in chapter 1, in verse number 11, he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He says that glorious gospel, the glorious gospel. And what a glorious gospel it is. Amen. What a glorious gospel it is, it that Jesus Christ, one person, the very Son of God, would die for all of our sins and pay the price for all of our sins and redeem us unto himself and reconcile us unto his Father and all the riches of what we have in Christ. He says it's a glorious gospel. But he says that glorious gospel, he says, was committed to my trust. Committed to my trust. Go over to Titus chapter 1. Titus, in Titus chapter 1, he says, as God, our Savior, has committed that glorious gospel to my trust, he says, that meant that gospel was to be brought forth to others. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 3. Well, I'll back up just a minute. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Notice, you get that? He says, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul says, according to who? The commandment of God our Savior. And now he's writing to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, he says, I'm writing to you. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. And I'm sure that I'm sure as Timothy is reading this, Timothy's not so much thinking of Paul's testimony as much as Timothy's remembering his testimony. Go back to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 is the passage of scripture in the journeys of the life of Paul. And the circumstances there in Acts chapter 14, the circumstances where Timothy would come to hear the gospel. And through this hearing of the gospel, and I'm not exactly sure of at what moment in time in Acts chapter 14 Timothy would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But later on in chapter 16, he is the disciple of the Lord. And Acts chapter 14 is one portion, the only portion of scripture that gives us the circumstances in the town where Timothy was, and it was at Lystra. But if you go to verse number 6 of chapter 14, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. And so Paul goes to Lystra, where Timothy lived and where Timothy was from, and Timothy was a younger man at this point in time, and what is Paul doing? He's preaching the gospel because that is what God our Savior has committed to his trust. And he says, God's manifested his gospel through the preaching of the word of God committed to my trust. And in Acts chapter 14 and in verse number 8, there's a certain man at Lystra, impotent in the feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices, saying in this speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul and Paul, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Later on in verse 19, they take Paul and they stone him, they take him out of the city, supposing to be dead, and Verse 20 says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came in the city, came back in the city, Lystra, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. But you know, Paul goes to Lystra, preaches the gospel. And as he preaches the gospel, by faith he is able to heal this impotent man that's lame in his feet. And then as the people are just about to worship Paul and Barnabas as you know, as gods, Paul quickly rushes in and says, no. He says, we're just men like you. But in that, he says in verse 15, he says, we preach you that you should turn from these vanities and turn unto the living God. You know, just like he would write to the Thessalonians, you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. But through this preaching and through this evidence and through this power of God and through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was here in Acts chapter 14 that this young man, Timothy, who had been raised by a mom, a Jewish mom, who had told him the scriptures from a child else known, the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. But now here he has stood and witnessed this man that was a Pharisee. This man that was a Jewish leader. This man that was a teacher. Telling him to turn from your vanities and turn to the living and true God. And Timothy would come to know Christ as his Savior. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior. He says, Timothy, he doesn't say this, but you just consider it. Paul knew the grace of God that brought salvation to his life. He knew that through the preaching of the gospel of God our Savior and the gospel of Jesus Christ that Timothy would get saved. But you know, there's one more thing. If we were to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul also knew that it was all because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God our Savior. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16. Verse number 16. For where would we be if it wasn't for the goodness of God in all of this? And Paul writes this, howbeit, he says his testimony is from verse 12 down through, and verse 15 he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then you go down to chapter 2, though. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Stop and consider verse number 2. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Paul says prayers, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men. Kings, all that are in authority. Paul, you just spent 2 years under house arrest. You just spent two of your years confined by these kings, by these people in authority. And Paul says, yes, but God my Savior, Timothy, God our Savior, would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. Just like the Philippian jailer. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And Paul says, whereunto? He says, because God would have, God our Savior would have all men to be saved. And Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul says, I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. He says, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. And he says, that's the goodness of God. That God would have not only Paul to be saved, not only Timothy to be saved, but God would have all men to be saved. And so as Paul writes to Timothy, as he begins to write this letter to Timothy as his own son, as an individual, he states four precious truths, the first of which is this. He says, not just God my Savior, he's God our Savior. And you know, when we think of that, we ought to first think about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Right? For God so loved the world. And then we ought to think about the gospel. The gospel. Because it's the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But that ought to bring us to the last one. The very grace of God that brought that gospel to us. Not only the grace of God that saved us, but the very grace and goodness of God that brought that gospel to me so that I could hear it, so that my heart could be moved by it, so that I could turn from idols to the living God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, you see, he doesn't just say, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, my Savior. He says, no, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, our Savior. And we ought to be thankful for the goodness of God, our Savior. We ought to be thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. We ought to be thankful for the grace of God, our Savior, that had that gospel appear to us. Let's pray.